human thing is to make clear, please don't come.
Apocalyptic scenes as Hungary closes its border to thousands of refugees trying to enter the European Union.
These vans are taking people to the border, and people are desperate to get on now, because with each passing day, with each passing hour even, the likelihood of Hungary closing its border increases.
On this week's In Focus, we travel with refugees across the Hungarian border and ask whether Europe is failing with its migrant crisis. Apocalyptic scenes are now common on the edges of Europe. Millions of people are fleeing war and poverty in the Middle East and Africa. Some have been lucky to make it into Europe, others have been met with brute force. The Serbian-Hungarian border. Migrants attempt to break through the gates of the European Union. Hungarian riot police respond. Hungary has said they are not welcome.
The moral human thing is to make clear, please don't come. Why you have to go from Turkey to Europe? Turkey is a safe country. Stay there. It's risky to come. We can't guarantee that you will be accepted here. So morally and from human point of view, we who defend the border and keep the regulations, we represent a human moral point also.
In this program, we will tell the story of desperate people who will stop at nothing to reach the safety and opportunity of Europe and of a European Union unprepared and uncertain of how to deal with the greatest refugee crisis since the Second World War. Earlier this year, I was reporting from the Greek island of Lesbos.
Every day, hundreds of migrants like these arrive on this island, and this is just one of many islands throughout the Mediterranean.
These hundreds have now turned into thousands, coming ashore any way they can. The image of young Aylan washed up on the shore of the island of Kos shocked Europe. But he is just one of dozens of children and over 3,000 people to have been lost in the Mediterranean this year. Riots have now broken out at Lesbos' port, as refugees are desperate to get to the mainland before the rest of Europe closes its borders. Like the migrants themselves, I've now travelled to Serbia, the last country before reaching the European Union. I started by meeting Zoran Serjakovic, a political analyst at Belgrade's university.
What has caused this refugee crisis?
It's the general hopelessness and chaos that started with the Iraq invasion in 2003.
The vast majority of refugees, easy to spot walking around Belgrade streets, are genuine refugees fleeing wars in the Middle East.
Do you think Europe and America, the West, expected this kind of blowback? I don't know whether you'd call it that. This refugee crisis. Do you think they expected it? They put that into their plans?
No. I think that overwhelming number of actors, or I should say I would be surprised if any actor contemplated, relevant political actor in the West contemplated the possibility that hundreds or thousands already, or that very soon millions of people will be on the gates of Munich.
A park in Belgrade. Refugees have been walking and bussing their way from Greece. It will have taken them a little over a week. Camille, working for a local aid group, is handing out supplies.
Salam, do you need some shampoo for the baby? Shampoo. Also this weekend it was extremely cold. It was not extremely, but it was cold and it was raining. So we were bringing raincoats and the sleeping bags, some tents and blankets. We are also afraid what will be happening when the weather, in the next few days, as the weather is getting worse.
Summer is at an end. One of the main fears for the authorities is the weather changing for the worse. A man approaches us. He's Syrian and clearly hasn't slept for a long time.
The war in Syria is everything. Nothing in Syria. Nothing. In Aleppo, Syria, 80 from 100 buildings, every 80 from 100 buildings.
How long are you on the journey? You went like a month ago, 3 weeks ago?
About 1 month.
1 month, okay. And you spend the most in Turkey?
The refugees are waiting for buses to take them north to the Serbian border.
You can get a sense of the scale of this crisis in this park. There are thousands of people, refugees, migrants, in this park and in neighboring parks at the moment. And they're only here for a day or two, sometimes just hours. As they leave north towards Budapest, thousands more arrive to take their place.
What are the major worries and fears of the refugees here?
They're afraid that they will have to stay here, or they are afraid of the future, what will happen, how long it will take to get to the Germany or to the Austria.
Since refugees weren't staying in Belgrade, there was enough supplies for them. Food, soap and clothes were being donated by local residents.
We have around 50 volunteers that are going with us to the parks. And that is, people are applying, people with different backgrounds, with different motivation, age, but it's something that we are really, really happy with, and much more than we expected.
Since being in Belgrade, it has been clear how welcoming and how helpful Serbian people have been to the refugees. Many say that that's because they have experience with war themselves. In 1999, as part of the Yugoslav War, NATO bombed Belgrade. The signs of the destruction still remain in the city as a kind of reminder. Hundreds of thousands became refugees during the war. Many Serbs and Bosnians are still displaced 20 years later. Here, pictures of thousands of Serbs killed in revenge attacks during and after the war. A reminder of the horror currently tearing much of the Middle East apart. Here, a monument for those killed in the attack by NATO on a Serbian television headquarters. 16 civilians were the only people killed, mostly makeup artists and technicians. Serbian people, more than most Europeans, understand the horror of war and the difficulties faced by refugees. Radoš Jurović, a refugee worker, has in recent weeks been thrust onto the front line of Europe's migrant crisis.
We can welcome people, but we can't overtake the burden of the international intercontinental migration, and we can't be the purgatory for the EU. Concerning the government has 800 beds for all migration, which is of course inadequate. In that sense, government and the state is not prepared. So if the bad weather is coming, then we would expect humanitarian crisis, I'm afraid.
The Serbian Prime Minister is currently in Germany speaking to Angela Merkel. Top of his list will be getting financial and political support to help Serbia deal with this crisis. We're now off to see the Serbian Minister in charge of refugees. The Hungarian Prime Minister has said, don't come to Europe. What would you say to Serbian, to Syrian refugees now? Come, don't come?
Što se tiče Srbije, svi ljudi pogođeni nesrećom, ne samo sirijske izbjeglice, tu se radi o izbjeglicama iz Iraka, Libije, Eritreje, su ukoliko dođu u Srbiju dobrodošli. Mi nećemo da dižemo zidove, Srbija neće da zatvara granice i mi ćemo se truditi da svim tim unesrećenim ljudima pružimo odgovarajuću pomoć.
I asked the minister what he thought of the Hungarian government building a fence just over Serbia's border.
Pa nijedan zid u ljudskoj istoriji nije zaustavio nikoga. Ni kineski zid, ni zid u Berlinu za vrijeme Istočne Evrope, ni ove ljude koji nemaju alternativu povratka, ovaj zid neće zaustaviti. Možda će se rute promeniti, možda će ovi ljudi ulazeći u Srbiju ići prema Hrvatskoj, ići prema Bosni, ići prema Rumuniji. Možda će nastaviti da idu prema Mađarskoj, ali ovo svakako zahtjeva jedinstvenu akciju, jedinstveni odgovor Evrope, šta će biti sa ovim ljudima.
Although dismissive of the fence, the Serbian government is worried. If Europe closes its borders, Serbia might become purgatory for refugees, and winter is coming. The next morning we drove to the border. Countless refugees were making their own way. Those who couldn't get buses walked, or like these lucky few got there by horse and cart. The whole border area, close to the roads, were filled with this bizarre scene. Syrian, Afghan and Iraqi refugees trudging their way along the roads in southern Europe. A camp close to the border. Outside, people desperately trying to get on buses to take them the final stretch to the only crossing left open with Hungary.
Ahmed is taking a much needed rest with his family before he carries on. He's from Syria.
It's not like the beginning of the war. There is now no electricity, no food, no water. Everything is cut off. People can't go to school or university. There is nothing for us there.
And so how has the journey been here? How did you get here?
I came like the rest of the people here. I've been walking for the last 24 hours. I've had no water.
The most serious problem in this camp is healthcare. I've been approached by a few different men asking for help with their children who are ill. Obviously, the healthcare system in Syria is completely broken down, and the long, arduous journey across Europe has been very damaging on the health of many.
Privately, aid workers here are damning of the United Nations and international aid organizations, which are almost nowhere to be found. Despite this crisis clearly being foreseeable weeks and months ago, only local charities have mobilized.
And is everybody here in this camp or passing through genuine refugees from Syria?
No. Most of them are. But there are a lot of people that are just using this situation, so-called economic migrants, people that are from Arab-speaking countries, but they are not war-stricken countries like Tunisia, Algeria, I don't know. The countries that are not war-stricken, plus you've got countries, people from Bangladesh, Pakistan, there are a few Indians, and from Central Africa and the Southern Africa. Yeah, they're using the situation.
I want to tell you something. Everybody is here, 70 from 100, not from Syria. Said, I am from Syria, I am from Syria, but not from Syria.
Where are they from?
Iraq, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Egyptian, Libya, Tunis, Africa, Somal, Sudan.
Jazair.
You don't know.
The world is one, in one way more than ever, and you cannot stop the millions of desperate people whose lives were crippled by this arrogance from wanting to run away from a destitute situation, which is not just Syria. You know, there is Yemen, there is Nigeria, there the half of sub-Saharan Africa. These are suspended lives of people who would leave tomorrow if there is no Sahara Desert in between.
In late 2014, I was reporting from Calais, northern France. There, thousands of refugees were camped out in what is now called the jungle. Each night, hundreds of young men tried to jump into lorries and to get across the channel into England. These refugees are mostly from conflicts in Africa or are fleeing poverty in Somalia and Eritrea.
Because the main root of this chaos is not just wars, it's this total hopelessness. If you always need to look everything together, from climate change to this chronic instability, unemployment. It would be in any way easier if it's just wrong wars. The roots are, the roots are so deep.
These vans are taking people to the border, and people are desperate to get on now, because with each passing day, with each passing hour even, the likelihood of Hungary closing its border increases.
And when you speak to migrants or refugees, what are their main problems? What are the main things that they need from you or complain about?
The main problem they complain about is Hungary. The crossing of the border, the Hungarian government and their treatment, and the infamous fingerprint.
EU law states that whichever EU country a refugee first enters, there he or she must stay. Therefore, refugees are scared of being processed and fingerprinted until they reach their preferred destination. Outside the camp, refugees became tired of trying to pile into buses and instead decided to walk to the border. Some tried to get a free ride. Most of the refugees we talked to were exhausted. They had walked for miles for days with little sleep, many carrying their children, all their worldly belongings with them. Apocalyptic scenes like these have shocked Europe, but are now becoming normal. Some stopped for a rest along the way. Some posed for photos. Many asked me what they would find at the border. Was it still open? Were they going to be fingerprinted? I told them I didn't know. The policy of the Hungarian authorities was constantly changing. Finally, we reached the border.
We have an absurd situation here at the border. We have hundreds of refugees wanting to cross. We have a couple of Hungarian police officers, and here some Hungarian workers building a fence in order to stop them coming.
These refugees were lucky. They were amongst the last to be able to cross unimpeded over the border. They closed it a few days later with predictable results.
The point is the responsibility. So if we would create an imagine or imagination or an impression that just come because we are ready to accept everybody, that would be a moral failure, because this is not the case. So the moral human thing is to make clear, please don't come. Why you have to go from Turkey to Europe? Turkey is a safe country. Stay there. It's risky to come. We can't guarantee that you will be accepted here. So morally and from human point of view, we who defend the border and keep the regulations, we represent a human moral point also. Because we would not like to falsify the dreams of that people. We make clear, please don't come.
Building a fence, Hungary building a fence, I mean, it sounds kind of absurd, really.
We are already tired of commenting that, but we are not receiving other such comments from the EU on the high political level. Having in mind that building fences in Europe is something that is first not efficient and then is leaving strong message of acting against the communitarian principles of freedom of movement and goods.
If Hungary stops the border, if Germany and Austria stop their border, which they say they're going to do, where are people going to go?
I can tell you there's a phrase that's going on between us here. People are like water. You can't stop it. You can either channel it. Whatever obstacle you put, they're going to break it. They will find a way. I'm sure they will find a way.
Hungary has now made it illegal to cross or damage the fence. Huge numbers fleeing war in their own countries have now been arrested in Europe.
It's really struggle among the refugees and the Hungarian police. They want to leave, and the Hungarian police is trying to stop them in any means available. So this is really like chasing people over the fields, over the flat terrain, and it's really something that is really disturbing when you are witnessing all that. Because the impression is like you are in the a period before the Second World War, and then you have the hunt for the heads of the Hungarian police. This is what the impression is for common citizens passing by.
Do you think the European Union has handled or is handling this in the right manner?
Mislim da Europska unija treba da donese jedinstvenu politiku, da donese jedinstven odgovor. Ovo je najveći izazov od stvaranja Evropske unije, ovo su najveće migracije od završetka drugog svjetskog rata i očekujemo da Evropa bude jedinstvena u pružanju pomoći. To znači pre svega da se pomogne u Srbiji i Makedoniji, jer nije u redu da Evropa pomaže Grčku i Italiju, a da ne pomogne Makedoniju i Srbiju. Ali odgovor na milion ljudi koji će možda doći, proći kroz Evropu, mora biti zajednički definisan u institucijama Evropske komisije.
Who do you expect to pay for that? If there's going to be thousands of migrants here, I mean, is it a Serbian problem? Is it a Hungarian problem? Is it a European Union problem? Is it a United Nations problem? Who do you expect to pay for it?
I would say it's the European problem. It includes European Union, but includes our country as well, in their own capacities. I would say that Serbia can't pay enough, can't in these circumstances with the heavily economic crisis in Serbia and the rate of unemployment, which is really high. Serbia can't pay for that. There is no money for that, but Serbia needs a strong financial support of the EU.
Europe never had a backup strategy for anything. They never thought this could fail. Is it euro? Is it refugees? They really thought history is over, not just in some declarations. Their whole institutional, legal, political infrastructure cannot deal with a serious failure because they think they developed a perfect system.
Despite the infrastructure of a number of European states already being overrun by the sheer number of refugees, the major crisis for Europe is not how many refugees have already come, but how many refugees are trying to come but have not yet arrived.
And is that going to get worse, do you think?
You mean more people are going to come? Yeah, sure. My personal opinion, yeah. I've heard rumours, I don't think they're rumours, but let's say 90%, that around 2.5 million people are waiting in Turkey to cross. You've got Lebanon, you've got Jordan, you've got people from Syria that are trying to come, Iraq as well, let's say.
The pressure is huge and these walls are falling, and the West will have to deal, probably, I wouldn't call that a pessimistic estimate, with millions and millions of refugees.
The EU knew this wave of refugees was coming. They could see it gathering pace in Greece and in Macedonia, yet they have been completely unable or unwilling to prepare. European states argue about quotas and about policy, but still seem a long way off agreeing a united position. Some countries build walls, others wave them through. All the while, thousands upon thousands more arrive on the Greek islands.
Do you have enough? Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about more people coming and you not having enough?
We are very worried what will be happening here, because this is not sustainable, and it's, the system cannot be on the small organization that is going, and on the people who are individually bringing help. So soon it will be very hard to manage.
This camp, as I said, improvements are always welcome. As you see, the tents, there are tents, but for example, 30 people will be in one tent. So,
and when the cold comes?
I don't know. When the cold comes, they've got blankets, but I'm not sure when the temperatures get more extreme. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know.
Are you worried about what's going to happen?
Of course, very worried, because this location, as you see, is in the open. The winds are strong. The winter in north of Serbia is strong. It's severe, so I'm even afraid to think.
And finally, I ask this question a lot in Greece and elsewhere, and I always seem to get the same reply. There is no solution. Is there a solution to this whole migration crisis?
Only in the country of the origin. If the countries like Syria, Libya and others would maintain peace and order, would re-establish, in that sense, it would stop this migration.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, but this is what we are seeing. We see a lot of interests in the Mediterranean zone, a lot of conflicts. And when you talk with the refugees, then you realize that most of them are from Syria and that they would never try to leave their countries if they would have peace and order. In that sense, I think it's responsibility of the Europe and European countries to activate more in establishing peaceful processes all over Europeans' external borders.
Wars in the Middle East have precipitated this crisis, and just as those wars have had a knock-on effect, so will the refugee crisis marching along railway tracks and into Europe. The far right is rising throughout the continent. One thing European leaders do agree on is that this migrant crisis will eventually affect everyone on the continent and change Europe forever.
People, when they are desperate, there is no walls that could stop them on their way.
Refugees trying to evade Hungarian police as they scamper into the European Union.
We've just had a tip-off from some local Hungarian police that there are some refugees trying to cross the fence a little bit further down, so we're going to take a look.
On this week's In Focus, we're on the Hungarian border as desperate refugees try to make it into a country which doesn't want them.
The Hungarian government has made it very clear that it does not want refugees to come to Hungary. It does not want refugees to be in Hungary.
Human thing is to make clear, please don't come. Why you have to go from Turkey to Europe? Turkey is a safe country. Stay there. It's risky to come.
Hungary's president sets out his country's position on the migrant crisis. While some have been welcoming of refugees in Europe, Viktor Orban speaks for many. Europe remains confused and divided on how to proceed. It's a day before Hungary closes its border. We're at a makeshift camp a few hundred meters into Hungarian territory. Tens of thousands of migrants have been passing through here over the last few days.
It's about midday here, and it's a rather absurd scene. The weather's turned foul, it's cold, it's rainy. There are hundreds of migrant refugee tents, a dozen news crews with their satellite vans, aid organizations handing out food and water, and the rubbish is piling up. And all the time, more and more refugees continue
to trudge along into the camp.
It's still early. There is only a trickle of refugees so far. Those that do come, or those who have been camping here overnight, are put on buses and taken to reception centres. A heavy police presence keeps order. Many refugees are scared to be taken to the centres as they think they will have their fingerprints taken and therefore will have to stay in Hungary and not be able to move on to Germany or elsewhere. Away from the camps, we notice a strange sight.
We're just getting into evening now, and about half a kilometre away from the camp, in just over the Hungarian border, we can see people behind this hedgerow, literally hiding, waiting until the coast is clear. And when it is, when the police have gone, they run, sprint, and you can see them now.
These refugees will have a tough time walking throughout the night or camping down in the cold and in the rain. One migrant was killed later that evening, hit by a car crossing this road. The next morning we set off to take a look at Europe's newest high security fence. In one sense, it's impressive, stretching across the entire border with Serbia. But it's also relatively easy to breach. It wasn't hard to find evidence of illegal crossings. The fence is patrolled by the police and increasingly by the army, although it's next to impossible to keep it hermetically sealed.
We've just had a tip-off from some local Hungarian police that there are some refugees trying to cross the fence a little bit further down, so we're going to take a look.
We spotted some refugees through the fence. Bizarrely, nearby, at a seemingly innocuous point on the border, there was a door. It was open, so we walked through, illegally crossing ourselves into Serbia. The migrants were from Pakistan. They'd been walking for days, were cold and soaking wet. They told us they were trying to evade police as they crossed into Hungary and were as surprised as we were to find an open door. They were trying to reach Germany. We wished them luck and left.
The young Pakistani men we just spoke to were waiting for gaps in the police patrols. They were also waiting for us to leave before they crossed. And not just them, they told us that there were around 15 others hiding in the bushes next to them.
The fence is meant as a deterrent. It represents a thinly veiled message to the millions of refugees in the Middle East dreaming of coming to Europe. Nearby, we spoke to a local Hungarian farmer.
So what do you think of the fence?
Gondolok erről a kerítés, hogy valamennyit ér. De viszont a nullával egyenlő, mert ugyanúgy jönnek át a menekültek, mint eddig. Itt naponta 100-150 ember elmegy. És semmit nem ér szerintem ez a kerítés.
And what do you mind all the migrants passing through here?
És zavarja önt, hogy itt mennek a menekültek?
Hát engem nem zavar, mert minket nem bántanak, ugye. Annyit tudunk neki segíteni, hogy irányítsuk őket, hogy merre van a központ, oda menjenek, ott ennyi össze.
No,
vizet adunk nekik, meg ilyenek.
Budapest, Hungary's capital. For hundreds of thousands of migrants, just another city to pass through on their way to Germany. At the train station, Hungarians are proving more welcoming than their government. Free food and clothes are handed out. Wi-Fi and phone chargers, even haircuts are on offer free of charge.
To give you an idea, yeah. So in 2012 and in the years before, the number of asylum seekers arriving in Hungary were around 2,000 every year. And then in 2012, in 2013, there were 18,000 asylum seekers in Hungary. In 2013, there were 43,000. And now, since the start of the year, there were 150,000 asylum seekers coming in. So it means only the people who had been registered, which means that even more people came in, but were not registered.
Az utánpótlás szinte korlátlan, hiszen látjuk, mennyien jönnek, és a demográfiai számokat nézve sokkal több gyermeket vállalnak ezek a közösségek, mint a mi hagyományos európai keresztény életformát élő közösségeink. Ez pedig előrevetít egy matematikai számítás alapján egy olyan Európát, ahol a mi életformánk kisebbségbe fog szorulni, vagy legalábbis nagyon komoly kihívás fogja érni.
A press conference from the Helsinki Committee, a human rights organization critical of Orbán's position.
The Hungarian government has made it very clear that it does not want refugees to come to Hungary. It does not want refugees to be in Hungary. So Hungary is clearly abdicating its protection responsibilities. It will be and has already been saying no to Syrians. This is clearly, it's very evident that this is not right.
Despite hardline policies and condemnation from some quarters, other European leaders have been mute in their criticism of Orbán. Many suspect it suits other European leaders to have a strong man like Orbán at Europe's frontiers.
He has really racist and xenophobic policy. And he didn't do anything to try to help. He just completely negated the fact that this is responsibility that everybody should share and that there is a crisis and you should help people. And he just completely negated that, and he's just trying to get more far-right people to vote for him.
Refugees trying to force their way past Hungarian border guards. But watch the woman in blue holding a camera. She can clearly be seen kicking out at refugees as they pass. Here she is again, this time tripping up a man carrying his child. The camerawoman was immediately sacked and has since apologized. But many regard her actions as symptomatic of Hungary's xenophobic treatment of refugees. A few days after we were at the border, the crossings were closed and the inevitable happened. Refugees tried to break through and Hungarian police responded. We spoke to refugees near the Hungarian border with Austria about their experiences in the country.
In Hungary, was it difficult, the police?
Oh, very difficult in Hungary. We are not there. We are 4 or 5 days at Hungary. And very, very difficult for us at Hungary.
Why?
There is the police is police is not.
We walked 8 hours.
Walk here 8 hours?
In the woods at the night. And we see thieves and bad guys.
What, Hungarian?
Yeah, Hungarian.
Yeah, in a town called Szeged.
I want catching me and my friend.
Do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we see the police, we run away from the street for the woods, to the woods.
Because all scared about catching police people after the stamp.
István Lovász is a journalist supportive of his government's policies.
Hungary's putting the fence up, and Hungary said no more. But
Do you know how many countries have fences on their border? Greece, Bulgaria, Spain, and so many other countries are building, like the Ukraine, the Baltic countries. Walls are going up, but only Hungary is to blame.
It is, I think, a very intentional government policy.
To say what?
To deter people from the idea of seeking protection in Hungary, of even passing through Hungary. The Hungarian government basically, it appears not to care about the impact of this very restrictive or rejecting policy on the neighboring countries of Hungary or on Europe as a whole.
The refugees, the sheer amount coming, do you think it's going to change Europe? Angela Merkel said it's going to change Germany. Do you worry the amounts of migrants here? How do you think it's going to change or affect Europe?
Absolutely. It's going to change. And I think vice versa. That's the reason that Qatar, Oman, Abu Dhabi, and all those states, they wouldn't let millions of Christians into the countries, just as they don't want even Shiites to go there. You see, and of course, if you have different people coming to you, then there is going to be a clash of civilization, as we have experienced in so many cases in Europe. And I think that's going to be a very sad story.
Hungary and the EU's increasingly tough policies are likely to lead to more deaths. In August, 71 people, including 8 women and 4 children, were found dead in a lorry in Austria. They suffocated after paying people smugglers to get them into Europe. The Croatian border. Refugees are like water. You can stop the flow at some point, but they will find another way. We've heard that phrase many times. As Hungary closed its borders, refugees found other ways. ways often far more dangerous.
The EU's policies are forcing them to choose the other option, which is extremely expensive, very risky. Sometimes, you know, it's even fatal, the smugglers. There's not enough emphasis on making sure that people can come to Europe in a safe and legal way. There are no safe options for people to come to Europe, even if they're fleeing war.
Train pulling into the last stop inside Hungary, a couple of kilometers short of the Austrian border. Refugees ask policemen which way they should go. They are frightened as they simply don't know what will happen to them.
Many of the migrants have come up to ask me questions as soon as they got off the train. First of all, are they being fingerprinted by the police? Are they being rounded up by the police and put into camps? I've said no, they're free to walk to the border. Then they ask me, where is the border and how far is it? No, the border is 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, so you walk.
Walk down.
To the border, mm-hmm. The Austrian border.
How many kilo?
2-3 kilometers, yeah. 4 maybe. Mm-hmm. And then?
And now we're going to
taxi, bus, taxi. I don't know, yeah. Where are you from?
Syria.
Syria, where?
Damascus.
Damascus.
Yeah. These men are tired. They clearly haven't slept for a long time. They are happy to be finally crossing into Austria, but they are simply too tired to show it.
And how was the journey? You went Greece, Turkey, Greece, one month. From where, Turkey? From
the journey takes one month.
Yeah.
On the sea and from Greece,
first,
Athena,
Turkish,
to Macedonia.
After.
We're very tired.
And was it hard? Have you slept?
Oh, very difficult. We faced, and we still face many of difficulties.
Like what?
And sleeping, for example, walking for long times, for long hours.
Sights like this, hundreds or thousands of refugees passing with their children and all their belongings along roads and through the European countryside, is common in this part of Europe now. With the hundreds of thousands still making their way from Greece and Turkey, the end of this wave of migration is not yet in sight. The vast majority of these people are fleeing war, but it's images like this that scare many.
Brontanak Magyarországon, átcsörtetnek Magyarországon, hát Ausztriába sem állnak meg. Ezek az emberek nem a biztonságukért jönnek, nem az életükért futnak, hát akinek nem jó a szerb életszínvonal, nem jó a magyar életszínvonal, meg az osztrák életszínvonal sem. Az nem a biztonságot tartja szem előtt, hanem az életszínvonal. Ő egy német életet akar élni. Ezt én megértem egyébként, mint mondtam, egy jobb életkörülmények között élő embernek meg kell érteni, hogy a másik is szeretne olyat, mint ami nekünk van. De mi ezért megdolgoztunk. Szeretném ezt még egyszer leszögezni. Senki sem kérheti tőlünk, hogy azt, amiért megdolgoztunk, egyébként már bajban nem lévő, már életveszélyben nem lévő emberekkel osszuk meg.
And so here's the Austrian border. How do you feel?
Tired of barrels, of bombs, of fighting. We want to live. We are human. We don't want to fight each other. Yeah. We want to study. We want to improve my life.
The Austrians are far more organized than authorities further east.
The refugees are receiving much better treatment here at the Austrian border than they were at the Serbian-Hungarian border. There's a heavy police presence, people are queuing here in order to get buses. The Red Cross are here, they have translators as well.
In scenes reminiscent of a disaster movie, lines of army tents stand ready to shelter refugees. They board buses, which will take them on to Germany. Like other European countries, Austria is keen to simply move people on to the next country as quickly as possible. The wealthier refugees get taxis nearby.
I don't think Europe needs to close the borders at all, no.
So then you're promoting a completely open door policy?
No, what I'm saying is that there should be, for people who are coming from war, there should be a way for them to come fast and in a safe way and an illegal way.
What do you think the solution is? Is there a solution?
I think they have to find a solution. They just have to accept
well, all European countries have to accept the fact that this is happening, and migration can also be a really positive thing, and these people will not stop coming, they are fleeing war. And the amount of people who are arriving in Europe is really small in comparison to the number of people who actually fled from these countries. So it's not a huge responsibility.
A train from Vienna to Munich. Soon, finally, these refugees will pass into Germany. This is Katada and his family.
You were in Turkey a few weeks ago. You were in Turkey. And do you see how many people there were trying to get to Europe? Do you sense that it's a lot?
Most of them, they want to go to Europe in Istanbul because in Turkey, it's expensive life there. The salary is too much down. In Europe, they give us more, you know, more things about the houses, about the if I want to learn, if I want to make anything for about my study, my work. They help us more than any base in the world.
There are over 2 million refugees in Turkey alone, millions more throughout the Middle East.
Understand that here in Europe, they can't accept all the people to come to Europe. Sure, I know that. Because there is now a lot of people go there, a lot of people. So it's a problem for the people in Europe. For you, I think it's maybe a problem for you a little.
Katada tells me he would prefer to go to the UK. But since the UK is unwelcoming of refugees, he thinks it would be difficult. Most of the refugees I spoke to want to go to Germany or Sweden, the most welcoming countries. Amongst European policymakers now, there is a fear that if Europe as a whole is seen as welcoming, the flow will not stop.
And so now where are you going?
To Sweden. Malmo in Sweden.
Because why?
Because our brother, their son is there in Malmo, in Sweden. For that, we want to go to the same city there.
Do you think there's anything that can stop you getting to Sweden?
I think no. Everything will be perfect. But you know, the weather, it will be bad a little for us. All the time snowing and raining. But no problem.
We're not far from getting into Munich station in Germany now, which will be the final destination for some of the refugees in this train, but for most they'll be making their way elsewhere in Europe, Germany and Sweden, the most popular destinations. One woman just came up to us to ask us how she can get to Sweden because her 17-year-old son is there and she has no idea how to get there, whether she'll be able to get there. And that's what's commonly happened on our journey through Europe. Refugees have come up to ask us questions. How do they get there? Are they going to be fingerprinted by the authorities? Often they're very scared and they don't know what's going to happen. Most refugees are about to get into Munich, but there's still a long way to go.
As Katada and his family get off the train at Munich station, European policymakers are frantically trying to find solutions to the crisis, from quotas for accepting refugees to greater border controls and more funding for camps in the Middle East. Over the long-term solution, though, there still appears to be little movement.
One of the reasons that there is this huge wave of people leaving is because the spreading of the influence of the ISIS. And it's the fault of the United States.
István says that European powers, along with the United States, are doing little to promote peace in the Middle East.
And so what's the solution to all this?
The solution? I think to destroy the Islamic State. They are destroying, killing, whatever, you know, mass murderers. And I think we should somehow get our focus much better on our friendship with countries that deserve to be allied with.
At Munich train station, Germans look on at the strange sight. Hundreds of refugees arriving every hour.
How do you feel about all these refugees coming to Germany?
I feel it's great, like the people are here, like a welcome culture, and it's horrible to think about what they have had in their life before, and I'm very happy that these people can be here now and be free, and perhaps they can start a new life.
All these refugees you see here coming to Munich, are they welcome?
Well, I hope they're welcome. I'm not from here. I'm a tourist. I'm with my bag.
Where are you from?
I'm from Chile, in South America.
Oh,
Chile. Yes, I was in Syria though.
Okay.
I did visit the place, so I have huge sympathy for all they're going through. And I mean, I think it talks great about Germany on how they're receiving refugees. It talks good about Europe, I think, overall.
But how many refugees are welcome?
Depends how many it will need. And I think we are here in Germany, we are a rich country, we have a lot of money. And now they say it's like 800,000, perhaps it's 2 billion, I don't know. All the people can come to Germany because we have the possibilities for these people. I think there's no limit. For me, it's no limit, and a lot of people.
But Europeans are divided, and the more refugees that come, the more people are likely to say no more. While wars in the Middle East are redrawing maps, the migrant crisis that has followed is changing Europe. From the rise of the far right, changing demographics, and splits in the European Union, to new fences going up along its borders. Meanwhile, refugees keep on coming.